Ephesians chapter 6. And we're getting into sort of really nuts and bolts. We're going to talk about spiritual warfare this morning and the battle that we have. Then in here, we talk about the flesh that we have. You know, in our lives, we often want to say, you know, well, the devil made me do it. Well, you know what? Sometimes the devil doesn't need help. I can find trouble pretty well on my own. And so in here, we do have sin that dwells in us. And the temptations of the flesh. And we got to be careful of not going down those paths. But along the way, we need to realize that there is a greater battle that's taking place for our souls. And as we stop and we look at this battle that we have, that's laid down before us. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." You know, we go down through, and verses 10 to 13 lays down sort of the basis of this battle that we're in. And the first thing we need to realize, we are in a battle. Things just don't happen. I always find it interesting. You know, you talk to families that their kids get up at 6 o'clock all day, every day for school. They get the kids all ready. They go down without a hitch. They head off to work. And time again, they said, "Look, come Sunday morning, our house is chaos." Right? You ever experienced that? Every day of the week works out fine, but all of a sudden Sunday, everything happens. Or worse yet, maybe Saturday night, all of a sudden, you know, the kids are up all night, you know, all of a sudden they're sick, all of a sudden all these things happen on Sunday night, so Sunday morning comes and you're like, "I just don't feel like coming to church." Right? You ever had that? I've had that. I'm the pastor. Right? I gotta be here. Yeah, you know, guys, who knows it if I'm not here? Right? Why is that? Is that just per chance that it happens? No, not at all. Not at all. It was funny, in Bible school, oftentimes we would turn out, and our responsibilities was to go and preach on Sunday various places. And it was funny because we had old junky cars, but it seemed like the car always broke down, either Sunday, as we were heading off. I can't tell you how many times I'm heading off somewhere to preach, and the car breaks down. For real? And I'm not a mechanic. And it's like, why? Let me tell you something. There is a force that is behind this in your life that's trying to wreck your relationship with God. Right? I've talked with people that said, "You know what? I've decided that I'm going to read the daily bread. I'm going to do this continually." Right? Then all of a sudden everything kind of happens in that time frame that you have put aside for doing that, right? Is it a coincidence? No. There is a battle that is taking place. And in here, it helps to realize that. That the battle that we're in isn't against the stuff. Right? It talks about here, it says, look, that for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Right? It isn't... The problem isn't your spouse. You know, you turn around and Sunday morning or Saturday night, all of a sudden you're at odds, and all of a sudden the big fight happens, and all these things take place. Right? The problem isn't the spouse. I said, "Well, you haven't been to my house." No, that's not what the issue is, right? The issue is that there's a spiritual war that's taking place. Right? You turn around and you're struggling, maybe with your work, or maybe something's going with the family, and all of a sudden there's these strifes and things that are going on, that the minute you commit yourself to the Lord, the minute you say, "I want to go to church," the minute you say, "I'm going to read His Word," the minute you say, "You know, I'm going to pray," right? The problem isn't necessarily that person or that thing. There's a spiritual war that's taking place behind the scenes. Because how you react and what you do has a lot more to do with it than what that person or the problem arises, presents. Because in here, there is principalities, there is powers that's going on behind the scenes. There's a process to it. It's important for us to realize and identify the enemy. First of all, we got to turn around and look. There is a real enemy. His name is what? Satan. Devil. Beelzebub. Right? Whatever term you want to go to refer to Scripture, that serpent of old, the old dragon, the Bible's filled with references to him. I just did a quick look, you know, studying for this, and they say something like 50%, maybe a little bit more, 55%, of evangelical Christians do not believe in a real devil. Can you believe that? Can I tell you something? In a lot of places, Satan's already winning because it's hard to fight an enemy when you don't believe he's real. Years ago, I was pastoring a church, and I was talking to someone, and we were having to be sitting down in a waiting room, and I was just in there in a struggling conversation. Come to find out, they went to church on one end of town, and I was pastor on the other end of town. And so in the conversation it came up, because I usually don't lead with, "Hi, I'm a pastor." I don't usually start with that. Because people get really weird. Right? You know? I've talked to a lot of people and said, "Oh, and then, well, what do you do for them?" "Well, I'm a pastor." And all of a sudden people get real quiet or people get really odd. I don't like, you know, so I usually don't lead with that. But in the conversation talking about through, came out, "I'm a pastor." And I'm a pastor in this church. "Oh, well, we go to this church down the road." I said, "Oh, I hear you guys are without a pastor. How are things going?" I was just striking to him. And they said, "Well, we had a guy last week who came. And he kind of scared us." I was like, "Oh, really?" He goes, "Yeah, he started talking about the devil. And he's talking about like the devil was real." And he goes, "We won't have him back again. He scared us too much." Right? And I was like, "Wait a minute. From the very beginning in Genesis, we have the serpent, we have the devil showing up. We go down through, and all throughout the scriptures, reference to him, of the enemy, of the accuser of the saints, that in this battle that we have, he shows up at Job, and in here, tries to destroy Job's faith, and try to destroy Job's life. Jesus Christ himself had a confrontation with the devil, where the devil tried to tempt him. Then in here, we go down through, and time again, throughout the scriptures, until finally you get the revelation, and finally that devil gets the boot, and gets into the bottomless pit. All throughout scripture, talks about this person, the devil, who's out there. First thing we need to realize in this battle is what? He is real. There is a real enemy out there that we can't see. And he says here in the book of Ephesians, he goes, "Look, that you can stand against the wiles of this devil." Actually, I was going on through and I started typing out different things the scripture talks about. And I stopped at 10. 10 tricks the devil has. And I could have come up with more, but I figured you guys want to eat today. But in here, guess what? He's been around for a long time. He's been around for a long time. He's got a bag of tricks. But the thing is, he's kind of stuck on those bag of tricks. And we go down through, we can pop up and look at the reality of what's taking place here. But he is real. And in there, today, you know, we're so enlightened. There's a lot of churches that don't believe it. All, you know, he's just representation of the evil of man. And he goes through all these things. I was looking at one major denomination that only 18% of the people who go to this church nationwide believe there's a devil. Only 18%. I won't mention the Catholic Church, but that's what 18% only believe in the devil. Let me tell you something. He could slip in under the radar, destroying lives. And folks, if you don't believe in him, he's got a heyday in the battle he has. Second thing I want to point out, though, he's not equal with God. Some people have this idea that, you know, God is up in heaven, and that's his throne, and that's his domain, and then the devil reigns down in hell, and he's got a throne down there, and it's kind of this idea that there are two opposite forces, that Satan and God are equal with each other, battling out in this world. That couldn't be further from the truth. That he is not equal with God. Satan can only be at one place at one time. God can be everywhere at one time. God is all powerful. Satan is not. God is sovereign. He is in control. Satan is interesting. When he comes up against Job, has to ask permission to do what he does. Now, don't get me wrong. Satan is more powerful than I am. But praise God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so it isn't this idea of two equal forces. Not at all. In here, he was created. Sometime between creation on the sixth day and we get into Adam and Eve falling, Satan fell. But he was created. Ezekiel tells us that he was beautiful. That he was given up a place and position with God. And pride came into his heart that he wanted to usurp God. He goes, I will be like the Most High. But he's a creating being just like us. Created by God. Who fell. He's limited to what he can do. Can I tell you something? Folks, if you are a Christian this morning, I don't need to scare you with Satan. His reality is there. But he is still under the sovereign will of God. And he can't do anything unless God allows it in our lives. So in here, you know, you look at the scary movie. I don't know if you guys like scary movies. When I was younger, I used to like them. You know, the devil would come up with, you know, the little horns and the pitchfork and... And these images that come in. As I said, the scripture tells us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That in our lives, we have nothing to fear if we stand in Christ. The last thing I want to encourage you with, that Satan is judged already. Right? We know how this ultimate battle plays out. You can sneak a peek at the end of the book. Satan gets cast into the lake of fire. He is judged. His doom is good as money in the bank. And so in light of all these things, of who he is in this battle, the big thing we come up through is the Bible tells us to stand. Now, it's interesting, when I was younger and we were in Bible school, we were talking about Satan and talking about the battle that's taking place. And a lot of us were really ambitious. We're like, oh yeah, we're going to go out there, we're going to find the devil, and we're going to rebuke him, and we're going to battle him, and we're going to go out, we're going to do all these things, and we're all excited because we're going to duke it out with them, you know? Well, and then we had a professor sit down and say, okay, guys, let me tell you how it is. The battle comes in that we are told to stand. And throughout this, we are told that God wants us to keep our eyes on Him. While Satan is mentioned and there's all these things, there's a whole bunch about the spiritual realm that we don't know about. And while we get curious and while there's a fascination with some of those things, the big thing to keep in mind is, you know what? I just have to keep my eyes on Jesus. Keep my eyes on Him. And in here, as we turn around, what Satan wants you to do is get off the path. If people do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, what he wants to do is keep them away from that. He doesn't want people to get saved. If you're a Christian, what he wants you to do is not live for him. And so what Satan does is poke around and prod you off and tries to lead you astray off that stance. What God wants you to do is just stand. Stand firm on Him. Stand firm on the promises. Stand sure in our salvation. Stand, stand, stand. And what Satan's going to try to do is knock you off. Right? And he knows you. He knows how you're wired. He knows what buttons to push. And in here, God has taken upon Himself to equip us to stand. To stand. Actually, Peter tells us if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. So in this battle, let Jesus do the fighting. But stand. Be faithful. And in there, I come up with... I'll tell you what, I'll go with this one, sure. Be sober and vigilant. This is Peter. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Right? When I was a kid, I used to love watching Mutual Omaha's Wild Kingdom. I don't know if anyone remembers that old show. And in here, here's the gazelle out grazing in the field. And look, here comes Mr. Lion. Actually, it's probably Mrs. Lion, right? And she'd come creeping up. He comes through the grass. And the gazelle is totally unaware of what's about to happen next as the lion comes searching in. Right? When the lion comes in, the lion doesn't come in, roar, 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 and the gazelle, right? Because what would the gazelle do? He'd run away. No. What the lion does is gets as close as it can. Then at the last minute, it'll roar. What it causes the roar, what it causes the herd to run. And what happens when the herd runs, it's the old and the weak who are left behind, and the lion preys on those who are left behind. Folks, Satan's like that. When he comes in, he sneaks in for his attack. But he makes a whole lot of noise to get us to run. And we're told to stand. Right? And in your life, sometimes we flinch. Sometimes we fall back. And there's times in my life where I say, okay, God, I'm going to be committed. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And Satan does his thing. And I... And when I get off the path, when I get off Christ, when I get off those things, Satan has victory. So in here, I got 10 things. I don't know if I'll get them through this morning. I'll go through these real quick. But in here, there's 10 things I want you to look at this morning in your life. And this, use it as a venue to recognize spiritual warfare in your life. Right? If you're committed to God and you love Him, He's going to attack you. And I want you to be able to recognize these things. First one, Satan lies and is the father of lies. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, "You are your father the devil, and desires of your father he wants to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Satan lies. But you know what his expertise is? He takes the scriptures and he twists them. He came up to Eve. Eve was in the garden. Did God really say? Right? Not to take of it, then you'll die. Did he really say that? He twists. As I said already, we looked at over half of Christians today don't even believe Jesus that Satan exists. A lie. Time and time again, of lies that are taken out of that there is no hell, that there is no judgment, there is no right and wrong. That in here, time and time again, the scriptures are clear, full of truth, and we go around and we either believe that or we weave a lie. And Satan will tell you all the good ones. He'll tell you what you want to hear. He'll lead you down a path. He'll cause you to doubt. And doubt will bring fear. Satan is a liar. Be careful of those lies. Second thing, he blinds the minds of unbelievers. You go down through, and we talk about spiritual warfare, that when we go down through and you witness to someone, and I encourage you, share your faith. But you ever gone around and tried to share your faith with someone, and they just kind of gloss over, and they don't get it? You ever gotten frustrated with that? Because it seems so simple. I was at the hospital talking to someone. and the person was dying. They knew they only had a matter of days. I shared with them Christ. I said, look, you're about to face eternity. And Jesus died for your sins. If you will accept Him, that you can go to be with Him. And my logic is, here's someone who's dying. What do you have to lose? And the person was like, right? And what is that that makes it? And in here, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, whose minds the God of this age, this is talking about Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the gospel, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Then in here, why we, I think, especially in this country, we look at, we're so opposed, not just on politics, but on principles of right and wrong. We're so opposed to each other in so many things because what happens is you have half the population who turns around who are blinded. Satan has tricked them that they do not see the light. And so as we witness, as we share our faith, what we need to be in prayer. Because it's a spiritual warfare. It's a battle that's taking place. When I was younger, I thought, well, you know, if I just have a clever enough argument, right? If I was just smart enough, right? I used to love to argue. And I was like, oh, if I can just get the right argument, I'll convince someone to be saved. Does that work? No. So as you share your faith, pray that God will open their eyes. They'll hold back Satan because Satan is trying to blind them from the truth because he doesn't want them to come to him. He masquerades as light and righteousness. When you talk about the idea of the devil, all of it does is you know, picture this guy in a little red suit with horns and pitchfork. Right? Or like me, like I said, I watched a bunch of these horror movies and you know, the devil looks like one scary dude. Well, guess what? If he showed up at my door, do you think I'd let him in? No. Right? You know, knock on the door and you pull back you know, the curtain and there's... All right, no one's home, right? He doesn't show up that way. He doesn't show up that way. Then here, the Bible tells us, look, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. All right, this is talking about false teachers that's out there. All right, most of the false teachers are out there aren't all these the wacky ones. That in here, there are ones who come in and they're clothed and they look right, they sound great, but they are teaching lies. He says, this is no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, there is no great things if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Right? Just because someone sells books, someone wears a suit, someone is on TV, someone's on the radio, doesn't mean they're preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Be careful. And when Satan comes across, isn't necessarily in the goat skins and the horns and all that, but it's beautiful and it seems reasonable. It seems enticing. It seems popular. Everyone else is doing it. And we see this in the modern church, getting further and further away from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's closed itself in rational thought and the latest psychology and all these things when they go away further and further from the truth. Folks, that's spiritual warfare. That's spiritual warfare. Satan does signs and wonders. I almost didn't put this one in here because I didn't want to. But it's the truth, so I got to stick to it. Then in here, we turn around and say, how do we know this is true? How do we know it? And we see, talk about signs and wonders and miracles and people speaking in tongues and people being healed. We look at all these external type of things and say, oh, well, this must be of God because all these supernatural things seem to be happening. Second Thessalonians warns us, this is the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they do not receive the truth of love that they might be saved. We don't believe because of the miraculous. We believe because of the Word. Actually, the Apostle Paul says, you know what? If someone comes to preaching any other gospel, doesn't matter if they're great preachers, doesn't matter if an angel from heaven comes down, if they preach something that's contrary to this, it's a lie. And sometimes, you know, in our lives, we're looking for the miraculous. We're looking for something supernatural. Sometimes it's hard to live by faith, and we're seeking out these things. We've got to be careful. The Bible tells us to test the spirits to see if they're of God. And it's easy to be caught up in the latest trend, in the latest movement. Be careful. Because many get tripped up and tricked in these things. Remember, Satan is a spirit. He's powerful. And he's able to fool. I think back when Moses was with Pharaoh, right? And the first few plagues, which I always thought was interesting, right? Yeah, that we turn around and Pharaoh, you know, he turned around and said, oh, we turn the water into blood. Ew. And Pharaoh's guys were like, oh, we can do that too. So they make more water into blood. I mean, that, you know. And in here, that Satan is able to duplicate so many of these things. So just because something's supernatural doesn't mean it is of God. Years ago, I remember we had a teacher. I was in high school, so it was a little while ago. And the teacher and I got into a conversation, and she was a good teacher. We really liked her, but she was a little different. And we were talking, and she goes, oh, you're a Christian. I said, yeah. And she goes, well, I know the Bible's not true. Oh, how do you know? She goes, the ghosts in my house tell me so. I was like, what? And she goes, yeah. She goes, I have four ghosts that live in my house. She goes, I have a Ouija board, and I talk to them. We have seances in our house. And she goes, I talk to the spirits. And at first I was like, you're joking, right? She goes, no, this is... And I talked to her kids, and she's like, oh, yeah. And she goes... And so she asked the spirits. She did. She goes, you know, is there an afterlife? And they're like, no, the spirits stay here. And they went through and told her all these various things. And she goes, I know the Bible's not true because the spirits tell me so. Now, you may have something that extreme in your life, but it's a point of lying spirits. If anything tells you and goes contrary to the Word of God, run away. Satan loves to tempt. Right? And he knows just the strings to pull in your life and what position you are and where you go. And he knows all these things to put you in that position to tempt you to sin. 1 Thessalonians says, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter has tempted you and your labor might be in vain. Temptation. Now, see, this is something that, you know, we have the flesh, and we're drawn to sin because of that in our lives. But it's kind of like, you know, when you're on a diet and your body's like, ooh, I want a cookie. Well, then someone comes along and says, I have a cookie. Right? You got that inward and you got that outward temptation. Right? Not that there's anything wrong with cookies. Actually, I could go for a cookie right now. But in you, that temptation, that desire, right? That's why when you start falling into temptation, realize it's a spiritual battle. That in here, Satan is tempting you in a position or in a place or with a person or with a thing to put you in that position where you want to yield and give in to that and recognize it. Confess it to God. Ask him for help. And Satan will leave you alone in these areas. Be careful of that temptation. Satan plucks the Word of God out of people's hearts. In Mark, we have the sower and the seed. And Mark tells us, and these are the ones on the wayside where the Word was sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the Word that was sown in their hearts. I'll tell you, time and time again, I've had an opportunity to share with someone, or even preaching. And, you know, talk about this morning, because even this morning, there's spiritual warfare, Right? Maybe you're sitting there saying, Pastor, hurry up. Well, and you're being distracted by various thoughts and other things, right? And Satan comes right alongside, you know, and wants to distract you and tries to pull you away because he doesn't want the Word of God to have an effect. But I'll tell you how many times I've been, you know, Good News Club, that here we turn around and when the gospel is being shared, all of a sudden one kid gets disruptive. I've seen it time and time again. Right when you get down to the serious part, right around when you get down to the gospel, something happens, some distraction. I was going through and I was sharing the gospel with someone. They were attentive and they were listening to the Word and they were just asking questions. You can just tell that the Spirit was moving and they were getting closer. And all of a sudden, as we're ready to get down to it, this big old horsefly started buzzing around. Landing on the person's head. It was just like... And of course, I'm stupid. I don't realize what's going on, right? So I'm just like, oh, so we're swatting this. And you can tell all of a sudden, the whole thing got disrupted. And then it dawned on me. You know what? This is spiritual warfare. So I stopped. I said, you know what, God? Keep staying away. Now, I might think I'm radical and weird, but Lord, keep devil away. And all of a sudden that fly was gone. Said, well, Pastor, you sound really weird. I believe there's a spiritual battle going on. And I've seen it so many times. That in here, when the Spirit is moving, the Word is being shared, and all of a sudden something happens, some distraction, something takes place to pull the attention away. Is that by chance? I don't think so. And so it's always precarious for people to wait. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Give someone that opportunity to accept Christ, to make the decisions, and to put it off because so many times along the way Satan comes up and will distract. We'll pull away. Number 7. If you count, we're almost there. Satan causes some, and I want to stress this, some sickness and diseases. Luke 13 talks about a woman who was crippled over. And in here, it says, Luke shares, it says, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bondage on the Sabbath day. Think of Job. We look at the destruction Satan was allowed to use because he turned around with Job and he said, you know, God, Job serves you and worships you because you blessed him. And he says, go ahead, take everything he has if you want to. And Job had everything taken away. All his barns, all his fields, all everything was taken away from him by Satan. And Job did not fall. Job stood. And Satan's like, oh, well, because of his health. And God says, go ahead. You just can't kill him. And Satan came in. Right? And brought disease into Job's life. Now, I've got to be careful because I'm not one of these guys that believe every sickness is because of Satan. Right? No, we live in a fallen world. Disease is in this world. Death is in this world. But, I got to preach the truth to you guys. The Bible is clear that Satan can use health issues to keep you away from him. And so many times I've run into Christians who struggle. You know, will turn around and say, you know what, Lord, I love you, I'll serve you. But all of a sudden wrestle because, well, why do I have heart issues, or why do I have this disease, or why do I have this, and it draws you away from God. The question is, in your life, the things that bring us closer to God are of the Spirit of God. But things that bring us further away from God is from the enemy. And so even if though maybe it's a natural cause, can Satan use that to lure you away? Oh, definitely. right? How about death? Over the years, I've known Christians who get so bitter and so hurt because of death, a loss of a loved one, who no longer walk with the Lord anymore because of it. It's a spiritual battle, folks. And be careful of all these things that Satan can use in our lives. Number 8, Satan seeks to disprove our faith. Luke tells us, it says, "Look, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." This is a conversation Jesus had with Peter. And it's interesting because in this, Satan had asked permission. "You know this Peter guy? He's been following you. He says he loves you. But you know what? God, if you let me shake him up, he won't serve you anymore. He says he loves you now, but boys, you know what? That's just superficial. You let me take him, and I love this, sift him as wheat, right? If I, how hard can I shake him that he'll let go of you, Lord?" And in this, Jesus allows it, but he says, "You know what? I will pray for you that your faith will not fail." Maybe your spiritual battle is one that, you know what? Maybe you've been hanging on to God and he's been shaking you. Right? Satan has been just knocking you around for a while. He's been having a heyday in your life, and he's hit you with everything that you can think of. Because he wants you to do is you to falter. He wants you to not stand. And maybe in your life, maybe that's the battle that's going on. You say, "How much can a person take? How much more, Lord?" Now, we're promised that he won't give us more than we can withstand. And that's a tough thing. But with every temptation, he'll give a way of escape. But boys, I tell you, I've been down at the end of the rope hanging on with two fingers, right? And say, "Lord, hang on to me." We're in a spiritual battle. And Satan doesn't fight fair. He fights against evangelism. 1 Thessalonians says, "For we, brother, have been taken away from you for a short time in presence, but not in heart, endeavoring more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, but even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan has hindered us." Paul says, "You know what, you guys? I know you guys are hurting." He goes, "I want to come to you and I want to encourage you. But you know what? Satan's holding me back." In your lives, have you ever had the assurance in pressing in your heart where you wanted to call someone? You ever had that? I believe in our lives, I've had that. Where, you know, I just felt the Lord wanted me to call someone. I'm like, "All right, I need to reach out." And what happens? Someone comes to the door. Right? Something, you know, the kid pukes on the bed. I mean, whatever it is, you know, right? All these things, I'm just speaking from experience, right? All of a sudden, you know, all these things start happening. Because Satan doesn't want you to make that call. Right? There's a spiritual battle taking place. Right? You're at a point where you said, "You know, I need to talk to someone. Maybe to ask forgiveness. Maybe to make things right. Maybe to go around and encourage someone." And time again, what? Something hindders you from doing that. "Oh, I'll do it later. Well, maybe I'm too busy now." We get distracted along the way. Years ago, I've tried to make it a practice that, you know, if someone comes to my heart, doesn't matter what time of day or what I'm doing, where I feel that, pray for someone. I stop and I pray. Because the honest part is, if I don't stop and pray for that person right then and there, you know what happens a lot of times? I don't do it. Right? I get distracted, things happen, I'm hindered. And be aware of that, folks, in our lives, that Satan hinders us. He doesn't want the word to go out. He doesn't want the truth to come out. The battle is real. The last one this morning. Satan is an accuser. He accuses Christians before God. 2 Thessalonians says, "And when I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accuses them before our God day and night has been cast down.'" One of the things Satan loves to do is accuse us. That Satan is just a big narc. He's a telltale. And he likes to run up to God and says, "You know what Pastor John did? Do you know what he said? Do you know where he went?" He calls himself a Christian. He calls himself that he loves you. Look at what he's done. Yeah. And maybe in your life, right? Because I don't think he just keeps it to God, but he loves to come into your life and come into my life and says, "You know what? You know what you've done? How could God ever forgive you? How could God ever use you? I know what you've done. I know what you think. I know where you go. I know what you watch. I know what you listen to. I know all these things. How can..." And I'll tell you, it gets easy to get down. How could God ever use me? How could God ever love me? But see, praise God that we have an advocate with the Father. "Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. That in His word is true. That we are forgiven because He says, 'I am forgiven.' I am loved because He says, 'I am loved.' That in this battle, folks, Satan doesn't have a chance if I keep my eyes on Him. That Satan doesn't have a chance if I stand firm on Jesus Christ." You know, it's interesting to talk about the enemy, and it's so discouraging. But folks, the promise comes in. That in here, we have the armor of God. We are not in this battle alone. That in here, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God," verse 13 in Ephesians, "that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Not saying in my power, but in His. Not in my armor, not in my strength, but in His. "And greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world." And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to break down and look at this armor of God. That we can have victory in our lives. That in here, that we can have the defeat of Satan in his life. That we don't have to be tricked anymore. That we can stand firm. That He can have His way. That God can have His way in our lives. This is going to be a great study. Just stand. Just stand. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your truth. Lord, in all these things, help us to stand. That, Lord, we're not in this battle alone, but we have You. And Lord, if we have You, we have it all. Lord, we thank You. We ask this in Your name. Amen.